Well, hello and welcome to our Science Talks program with Isagenics. My name is Kirsty Cody, your host, and it's a pleasure to have all of you listening in. I am very excited as today's podcast is launching part one of a two-part series on nutrient timing with Dr. Paul Arciero. If you've not been to any of our events, or maybe you're brand new to Isagenics, Dr. Paul, he is huge. We are so grateful to have him part of our Isagenics family. He has an extensive background as a scientist, and I'm going to go into that in just one second, but we're going to be focusing on the secrets to weight loss here in part one, and then part two, the secrets to optimal body composition, so lean mass development and optimal athletic performance. But both of these obviously hinge around nutrient timing. And this is something that has been kind of new to the Isagenics world over the last couple of years since Dr. Paul came on board. But just a little bit about Dr. Paul's background. He is a fellow of the International Society of Sports Medicine, also a fellow of the American College of Sports Medicine, and a fellow of the Obesity Society. He's also a member of the advisory board for the American Heart Association. He is the leading expert in nutrition, fitness, lifestyle interventions to optimize health and physical performance. He's published more than 50 research studies on performance, nutrition, and exercise training in the world's most respected peer-reviewed scientific journals, including Obesity Journal, Frontiers in Physiology, American Journal of Preventive Medicine, just to name a few. I would say that most impressive, three of Dr. Paul's publications have attained the coveted classic status, being referenced by other scientists at least 100 times in peer-reviewed scientific medical journals. So something to be very proud of. If you're not a part of the scientific world, it's a big deal. He is the president and CEO of Prize LLC, which is a nutrition and fitness consulting company. And that company popped out an app that you can get called Genio Fit, which is really cool. I'm sure Dr. Paul can talk about that. I think maybe in part two, not sure. But we're grateful to have him a part of our Isagenics Scientific Advisory Board. And by the way, I mean, he's a nutritional consultant for a lot of different companies within the healthcare industry and the nutrition industry. So Isagenics being one of them. But Dr. Paul, we're so grateful to have you here with us today and taking time out as being, you know, a professor at Skidmore College and being here with us today. We're really appreciative of your time.
Kirsty, thank you so much. What an introduction. Oh, you do such a wonderful job of capturing things. It's so humbling, but this is right in my wheelhouse, as you well know. I would not rather do anything other than this. This is what I love doing. Awesome. Sharing all this, so I'm ready to go whenever you are.
Oh, we're ready. And I just have to make note that when you take stage at Isagenics events and you talk about the science, and just let's just kind of recap in about 30 seconds, if you will, some of the research that you have done for Isagenics specifically in leading those studies, because they're huge in the nutritional world. And maybe you can explain why, in the sense of the third party and just what a big deal these amazing studies are that you've been able to run over the last couple of years.
You know, you really hit it right on the nose there, is that it really is remarkable, the level of importance and emphasis and focus that Isagenics places on third-party independent science. And I think that is such a unique standard that they are setting in the food and supplement and nutrition industry, and health and wellness for that matter, actually, that they continue to this day being an independent scientist, and the level of support that they continue to demonstrate, not just with my research, but with other top leading scientists, is so impressive. And it's really allowing them to set themselves apart from everyone else. So the first study that they was funded was a weight loss study, and it wasn't just weight loss, I should say. It was actually an 11-week weight loss study that was followed by an entire year follow-up maintenance study comparing the Isagenix weight wellness solution to the heart-healthy diet. And so that was the first one that really placed Isagenix on the map in terms of peer-reviewed, independent, third-party research. And that was followed up by the performance study, where we actually incorporated some of the at the time, current performance, Isagenix performance nutritionals, and compared them to what is commonly available for people that are looking to have that competitive, you know, performance edge in how they nourish themselves. And there again, Isagenix stole the day in terms of the effects and the results of increased performance. And so just I'm so deeply honored and continue to be associated with Isagenix in terms of the research that I've conducted. So I'm excited to share some of that incorporated into our topic that we'll be talking about today.
That's great. So in a nutshell, guys, it's kind of a big deal. if you go to isagenixhealth.net, that's our health blog. And there you will find everything that you want to know on those ongoing studies. We're just so grateful for them. And it's interesting because I remember when Isagenix first got started 16, 17 years ago, that was one of the things that we were talking about with other companies and how companies, somebody has to pay for the research. So of course, Isagenix popping the money out, but it's who they hire to do that independent third party research and in putting together that study that is the most important. And clearly we have aligned ourselves with the best of the best. So thank you, Dr. Paul, for everything you've done on that note. And I would love to jump into it. The secrets to weight loss, nutrient timing, part one. This is the biggest topic. I think that in your opinion, based on what our bodies are dealing with today, in today's day and age, with everything going on from environmental pollution to diet to exercise to lifestyle with work and all these different things, our bodies are really, we're combated with a lot of different things that maybe our ancestors didn't have to deal with, right?
Wow, you know, you're so true and so right with that, because there are so many stresses. You know, what I refer to this as, Kirsty, is the struggle of the juggle. And what I mean by that is that we're constantly on a daily basis. In fact, I would even go so far as to say on a moment by moment basis during the day, constantly trying to juggle the struggle of all of these stressors that we have. And some are good to a certain degree, but others that continually build up. And so, yeah, you know, when you look at the impact on our overall health, and you describe and hit many of the most well-known of them, you know, the toxic environment that we live in all different forms, right? I mean, the food that we are exposed to, the pollution in the air and the water, toxic chemicals that are, you know, coming up all over the place and that we're finding now residing in our bodies. So we're constantly confronted with that. And then add on top of that, all of the life stresses that we have in terms of relationships, right? I mean, think about how on a daily basis, we're not only trying to manage relationships that we have with other people, but also with ourselves. And so, you know, that's a huge life stress. We have financial stress that is always on just about everybody's, you know, mind and how they live their day. And so we have to manage our financial stresses. And then, of course, our physical health. You know, what is it that we can do to help maximize our physical health? And there's of all of the things that we know to impact our physical health, you know, when you look at the three big players, it's what we eat, it's the exercise that we do in terms of our human movement, and then it's the mind-body component that we have to pay close attention to. Those are three of the most, you know, influential environmental lifestyle factors that influence our health, and that would include, of course, stress and sleep and things like that. So, yeah, nutrient timing in terms of how it plays a major and critical role in allowing us to maximize our health is huge. And so I think it's a very, very timely topic, because we know what the body needs to go through in terms of partitioning nutrients to all of the different places in our body so that we can maximize our health. And that is really based upon how well we are timing the food that we eat. So I think it's top notch here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's get into, I know you kind of break it down to into three different areas of focus. Number one being quality. Mm-hmm. What do we need to know when it comes to quality?
So when it comes to quality, especially as it relates to our overall health, and maybe we should, is it okay if we focus on this, you know, weight loss aspect?
Yes. Yeah, so, yep, for sure.
So in terms of weight loss, which, you know, so many people, and you and I had this brief conversation, you know, off record here before we got on air, off air. And, you know, we were talking about how even for just about everybody, at some point we move so fluidly in and out of these different stages and phases of our overall health. And so even for top level athletes, for example, they're not always looking for performance all the time, 24/7, right? I mean, there are times that they're either, you know, recovering from an injury, they're in the off season. They have to also, at times, consider weight loss as an important component that they have to, you know, pay attention to. And so it's, you know, no one's immune to this weight loss aspect. And so I think that's really important. But for the average person who's battling this this increase in weight, particularly as we age also, for example, the quality is one of the most important components of nutrient timing. And so how we begin to fuel our body and nourish, how you like to use the word nourish our body, even though it's time dependent or temporal, meaning it has to be looked at in terms of over the course of a day and the intervals in which we're eating, the first and foremost factor that we should pay attention to with this nutrient timing is the quality of those nutrients each time that we're eating. And so I would just say that it's so important to, when you have an eating landscape that you're confronted with, whether it's, you know, a breakfast meal, a lunch, a dinner, or snacks during the day, you know, to focus on the quality of those nutrients is most important. And so just in a very general sense, we know that the first nutrient that anyone should consider, regardless of their lifestyle goals or their health goals, in this case talking about weight loss, should be protein. So the protein should be the single most important factor that you consider each time you're at an eating opportunity. So in terms of the nutrient timing, the quality of the protein should be of the highest quality. And we know that whey protein still reigns supreme in terms of our quality of protein nutrients. And then in terms of other sources of good quality protein, that would be other either organic, wild, local, pasture raised type sources of animal protein in the form of eggs and chicken and turkey and fish, pork and beef. And so just making sure that those are coming from sourced proteins of the highest quality, I think would be of the next consideration. And then the plants, the plant sources of protein. So we know some of the highest quality plant sources of protein would be things like legumes, which are things like lentils and black beans and different types of peas. So there's so many to choose from. Quinoa, for example, is another one that we can put in there as a grain that's of a very high quality protein. So those are some of the good ones. And then we also have vegetable sources of protein in the form of legume or pea protein and brown rice protein. So that's usually a good combination for a vegetable source of plant-based protein. And then for the carbohydrates, it's mostly, as we all know, whole grains, fresh fruits and vegetables should be of the highest sources of our carbohydrate intake, followed by some sources of whole grains that people, as long as they can tolerate those, and trying to limit the high glycemic. And then for fats, it's the same. It's choosing sources of fat that provide the essential fatty acids. So things like fish oil, things like coconut, avocado, nuts and seeds, you know, those all have the highest quality of the fats that our bodies really thrive on. So that quality component is really essential.
So I have to ask you, you know, in your opinion, and I know that this is definitely, you know, varies from one person to the next, but organic versus non-organic, non-GMO versus GMO, what are your thoughts? Because obviously this funnels into the quality of the foods that we're purchasing to put into our bodies. And so your thoughts on that?
Great. Yeah. So, you know, it really truly does come down to the sourcing of that. So, for example, with organic, I think in most cases, organic would be the priority for people to choose if they had an opportunity and they were in an economic place to be able to do so, because it does cost more oftentimes for organic. But I would say organic would be the priority, but it's not always necessarily the highest quality in some cases. And there's various factors for that because of some of the practices that can go into claiming that it's organic. And again, you know, when you look at the definitions of organic, you just have to make sure that you're reading those clearly, because in some cases, something that is perhaps raised organically or produced organically has been sourced and has traveled a great distance in terms of finally arriving at your grocery store or wherever you are purchasing it from. Whereas something that was raised locally, although perhaps not organic by its true definition of meeting that standard, is just simply fresher, and therefore contains a higher quantity of nutrients and perhaps even vitamins and minerals, because it's been something that has been locally sourced. So, you know, there's a lot that goes into something that is organic. I think, like I said before, the priority would be to try to choose organic, but I think, you know, travel distance of how far these foods have arrived at your local grocery store plays a big role. And then in terms of GMO and non-GMO, I think, again, the priority would be non-GMO. If you had the option to choose from that, I think that would be a superior source of a food if it was non-GMO, just because of we don't have all the science yet behind the GMO foods. But in some cases, you know, they're proving to be not that different in terms of the quality. But again, I think that in a general sense, choosing those would be ideal, but understanding that there are other factors that come into play.
Sure, absolutely. That's such a big topic of concern for people, and so that's good to note. Now let's move on to quantity, and this is a really big deal. I mean, especially if you know, people are heavy eaters in the evening times or whatever. So I'm just excited to hear what you have to say in regards to the quantity of all of the food intake that we're doing throughout the day.
So, you know, first and foremost, the quantity is really dependent upon what the goal of the person is. So if we're focused on weight loss, for example, it should be a quantity of food that allows you to be in a relative, what we call, calorie deficit. So you're consuming less calories than your body is expending. So if you're consuming more calories than your body's expending, you're going to gain weight. To lose weight, you have to consume less calories than what you're burning. And so that's the goal. You got to just make sure that you're not overeating. So the relative quantity, it's all about proportions, you know, the amount of food that you're eating. And of course that relates directly to nutrient timing, because it's really important that at each of those meals that you're consuming over the course of a day, you are consuming an amount that satisfies you, that does not leave you hungry. And so that's critically important in terms of the quantity that you're consuming, because I think that is what sabotages so many people's good intentions of adopting a healthier lifestyle, particularly as it relates to weight loss, is that they consume too few calories, and they end up binging or overeating as the day goes on because they've starved themselves so much during the day. And so the quantity that you're consuming is really critically important. And I'm going to, again, I have to, because it's the science, and I have the science to be able to speak to this very directly and with a great deal of confidence and scientific support. But it really comes down to the amount of protein that you're consuming at each of these meals. And that should be in a range of 20 to 40 grams. And it's there for a reason. That 20 to 40 grams is really the sweet spot to, first and foremost, tell the brain that you are satisfied. You've eaten a source of nutrients that have satisfied your bodily need, and protein, of course, because it's the highest vital nutrient that our body thrives on. When you meet that critical quantity or amount of 20 to 40 grams, you've really sent those signals to the brain to say you've achieved a major milestone by eating that 20 to 40 grams. You've provided your body an amount of nutrients in the form of protein that serves a very, very important role. And a lot of times people, Kirsty, think that protein is just for our muscles. And, you know, that's partly true. But interestingly enough, perhaps one of the greatest consumers of protein, when we look at nutrient timing over the course of a full 24-hour day period, is our brain. Our brain is a major consumer of those important amino acids. And I think that is often neglected when people look at just food intake in general. They're always looking in terms of how is it, you know, satisfying my muscles and my body. And really, I'm hoping that this serves nothing more than a good reminder to people that when you nutrient time properly with the appropriate quality and quantity of, in this case, protein is the most important of all the nutrients, you're really nourishing your brain more than anything at its highest level possible. So you are essentially optimizing your brain's function when you nutrient time under the guidelines that I'm providing here today, and there's really good science to support that. So I just want to put a plug in there because I think the brain sometimes gets neglected. And then after that, after the brain, of course, the other major organ that takes priority in terms of the amount, so we're talking about the quantity, the amount of protein that we consume at each of these nutrient-timed meals is the liver. And I think I've mentioned this on our previous podcast, but the liver is mother hen. So after the brain is the command center, right? It's kind of Oz inside of our body. Kind of the heart and soul of our body is our liver. That's, you know, mother hen. And the liver is constantly on the lookout and paying attention to what the needs of the rest of the body are. And so fortunately, after the brain is taken care of with this quality and quantity of the highest quality amounts of protein and the right amounts, then the liver gets its, you know, its pass through. It's actually the liver gets the first pass, to be truthfully honest, and then the brain is nourished. So yeah, that 20 to 40 grams is not just kind of arbitrary or thrown out as, you know, what can we do to help serve the muscles at the highest level. It's really in many ways what is the ideal and optimal amount of protein to really nourish the brain as we go through the day, and then of course the liver and the muscles benefit as well. So the quantity is essential.
Wow. Okay. So based on weight loss, I mean, we've covered a lot, you know, quality versus quantity. And then let's move into the frequency. You said 20 to 40 grams is your optimal amount of protein per meal, or per, I guess, dosing, yeah, if you will, of protein. So give us a breakdown of a day, what a day looks like for optimal weight loss when it comes to the nutrient timing aspect.
Great. So specific to weight loss, the goal is to have this timed, I call it, you know, paced, protein paced intake throughout the day so you can maximize your body's metabolic response. You know, it's, I really refer to protein pacing as the metabolic advantage. And it truly is, because as I just described, when you have the highest quality protein coming in to your body, not only are you nourishing your brain, your liver, your muscles, and all your organs and tissues at that with the highest quality protein, but the amount that you're delivering allows for it to be distributed adequately and to a level that's ideal to help support all of those systems in our body, and specifically around weight loss. And here's why. When you take in that 20 to 40 grams of that highest quality protein at the timed intervals that I'll lay out here in just a second, what you're doing is you're providing a metabolic advantage. You're providing, because protein is so metabolically expensive, really. I mean, for the body, it helps rev up the metabolism. And there's, you know, very good science, I've published research on it and others have as well, that when you have that appropriate amount of protein coming into the body, your metabolism is elevated, it's increased. So your metabolic furnace is burning at a higher level. And that's very supportive in terms of weight loss, number one. Number two, because of the quality and the amount of those the protein that's coming in, and then the building blocks, or the, you know, the breakdown products of that protein in the form of amino acids, it's getting delivered to the brain. And so you're having a level of satiation, meaning the brain is satisfied of feeling that it's met its requirement for nutrients. And that then is sends signals to the other areas of the body, our body fat stores, and we are told that we're satisfied. We don't need to keep eating. And so in terms of, again, making this very applicable and specific to weight loss, you've done two things that are just beautiful in terms of setting up an environment to facilitate and augment a healthy weight loss. One is you've increased the metabolic engine inside your body. You're revving higher in terms of burning calories. That's a favorable environment for weight loss. At the same time, you're telling the brain and the rest of the body that you've met its nutrient and nourishment requirements. That's huge in terms of, you know, sending signals throughout the body to say, hey, you're good. You've met a major vital nutrient level of support, and so we're good. And number three is you've turned on the mechanisms and the pathways of something called protein synthesis. And protein synthesis is that vitally important biochemical metabolic pathway that is supporting our lean muscle mass, or lean body mass, if you want to group it as body mass instead of just muscle, but muscles are included in that lean body mass. You're turning on the production and the operations required to help support a healthy level of lean body mass. And that is major important in terms of when you're undergoing a weight loss. And so what ends up happening is when people follow these strategies of nutrient timing of quality that we've described, quantity that we've talked about, and then the frequency in the following way, you've really set up the best environment for the most ideal and healthy weight loss you can ever achieve. And so in terms of the frequency and the timing, it really starts first thing in the morning after you've been fasted basically overnight from sleeping with what I call the morning muscle maximizer. And I call it the morning muscle maximizer. And I don't want to suggest that it's only, again, for the muscles. It's also for the brain. I consider the brain a muscle, right? We talk about the brain has something called plasticity in it. And so neural plasticity, and some people just group it as brain plasticity. And that's really, the muscle is like the brain is like a muscle. You have to use it or you lose it. And so we know that about our skeletal muscles. If you don't use them, you lose them. And the same thing with the brain. So when I say the morning muscle maximizer, that word muscle really relates to both our skeletal muscle as well as our brain muscle. And so that's a critical feeding, that first one when you wake up in the morning, of that 20 to 40 grams of high quality protein. And then thereafter, it should be every 3 to 4 hours. And that's, again, critical in order for us to maximize those three things. Number one, the metabolic advantage of a higher metabolic burn. Number two, the brain feeling in the body, sensing that it's been satisfied, it has met its nutrient requirement to flourish and to thrive. And then number three, to activate protein synthesis throughout the body, everywhere, in our skeletal muscles, in our cells, our organs. So if we can follow those three things of the quality, the quantity, and the timing, with nutrient timing and the frequency, and do it in a way that starts first thing in the morning with a morning muscle maximizer, and then every 3 to 4 hours after that, and then finishing up at the end of the day with a bedtime belly buster that we often hear a lot about, especially with incorporating the Isagenix bedtime belly buster. That's an ideal environment to maximize weight loss. And it's had so much proven success. You know, it was the exact same nutrient timing plan that I used in the Isagenix weight loss study, for example. And we all know the enormous and incredible benefits that were shown in that study with both men and women, not just in the short term, but also over a full year time period. But that's nutrient timing in a nutshell for weight
loss.
That's
amazing. Yeah. So I'm sitting here thinking, I mean, if you got your day going at 6 a.m. and you broke that fast in the morning with, let's say, an Isoline shake or an Isoline Pro shake, then you can move out of the home onto your day with maybe a little cup of coffee, Isagenix coffee. And then either at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the morning, you're going in for more protein, you know, mini meal shake, that kind of a thing, hitting 20 to 40 grams each time. And whether it's 6, 9, 12, 3, 6, if, you know, if it's like every 3 hours on timing or every 4 hours in timing of 6 a.m., 10 a.m., you know, 2 p.m., 6 p.m. again, you know, it's 4 to 6 times per day, no matter how you look at it. And I would assume that, like, if it's 6 times per day, you're looking probably for a guy that's obviously more athletic, right?
Oftentimes, yes, because they've done exercise, or a woman, for example, who's exercised and needs to help support that that additional muscle breakdown and then rebuilding and recovery. And so that would be a kind of a post-exercise additional meal, exactly. Yeah.
And I can't wait to get into that as far as optimizing body composition on part two, because obviously that's the secrets of the nutrient timing in and around the workouts and what's going to really maximize success there. So anything else that we need to know about the secrets to weight loss when it comes to nutrient timing before I let you go?
Yeah, you know, one thing that I would add is this. So in the journey to weight loss, oftentimes there's the mentality of, you know, eat less, and that's the goal. And it's not always necessarily the case. I think a lower amount of calories is definitely a requirement, but you don't want to go so low that your body begins to go into a conservation type of a mode. So I think for women, the lower limit is generally 1,200 calories. For men, the lower limit is generally 1,500 calories. So that would just be one caveat that I would add there. And as the calories decrease, it's so important that the amount of protein increases slightly. And here's why, is that in people's kind of zealousness to reduce their calories down to those lower levels of, for example, 1,200 and 1,500, they do a net reduction in all of their calories coming from all the different sources, protein, carbohydrates, and fats. And this is where I would throw a very, very strong word of caution, that as you begin to reduce the calories down to those lower limits of 1,200 and 1,500 calories, your protein actually increases slightly. And I would say that you want to aim closer to the 30 to 40 grams of protein, believe it or not, particularly around weight loss. And the reason is because the greatest hit that the body is going to take with reducing calories down to that 1,200 and 1,500 for women and men respectively is in the lean body mass. And so if a person is reducing those calories down to 1,200 and 1,500, not paying a lot of attention to the distribution of those calories among the protein, carbohydrate, and fat, they run the risk of decreasing and actually eliminating they're lean, healthy body mass. And so you actually have to increase the protein as you begin to reduce the calories. And that is so, so important. So I would just like to finish up with that.
That's awesome. So good to know. Dr. Paul, thank you so much for being with us today. And I know that everybody's going to be really excited and looking forward to part two. Again, secrets to optimal body composition with the nutrient timing. So with that, thank you again, Dr. Paul, and everybody listening in. Make sure that your team members know where to find all podcasts, isogenicspodcast.com. Whether it's business success stories, science information, it's all there for you to download and to take with you on the go. And with that, until next time, best of health. Take care. Bye-bye.